From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today is Transgender Day of Visibility. On March 31st, every year, trans people and allies around the world acknowledge and celebrate the community while also raising awareness of the struggles they face in society. And this year, those struggles are visible in their own way.
It will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Trans rights groups are trying to halt the Pentagon's new policy of barring transgender people from service in the military. While the Justice Department is trying to defend their policy, a federal judge raised a number of concerns in court today.
Judges across the country will take up lawsuits against several of President Trump's recent executive orders, including one that has to do with Americans receiving passports that accurately or don't accurately match their gender identity.
Passports, military service, even access to gender-affirming care are all at risk for trans people in the United States. People in the trans community are still living their lives, you know, getting what they need from the store, spending time with friends, going out to work in their communities. But many of them are also feeling anxiety, stress, even anger in the current political climate. We're going to talk about that for the first part of our program today. With us is Aiden Novinska, Operations Coordinator at Uniting Pride of Champaign County, the LGBTQ Resource Center for that area. Aiden, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Carmine Beecroft is the co-president of the Queer Coalition at Illinois State University in Bloomington Normal. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, the group is hosting its annual Trans Day of Visibility sachet. Carmine, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And Christina Garnette is based in Carbondale, where she's a board member for the organization Pride in Action Southern Illinois. Christina, thanks for making the time to be with us as well.
Thank you very much for having me.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. Whether you're trans, you know someone who's trans, how are you thinking about Trans Day of Visibility this year? 800-222-9455. All right, Carmine, I'm going to start with you. This is one of two big annual commemorations of trans people, the other being Trans Day of Remembrance in November. What sets this day apart?
Trans Day of Visibility is a day for us to celebrate trans people, their accomplishments, their survivance. It is the happier day of the two, and we really want to use it as a time to be in community with each other, support each other, and remind people that we're here, we're queer, we're not going away.
Christina Garnette, what does this day mean to you in Southern Illinois?
To me, this is a big day of letting people know we are here, that they have support, they have people that are watching out for them, and that we are not disappearing, and that no matter what, we're standing strong, and people will know we're always going to be here.
And Aiden, what about you? Anything to add to that?
Yeah, definitely echoing what they say. It's important for us to just be visible in the community and in the country and just show everyone that we are here, we're queer, we're not going anywhere. Especially under the current administration, I think it's important now more than ever to show that we're visible here.
All right. Well, let's talk just a little bit more about what today's happening before we get to, you know, the current administration, as you mentioned, and some of the darker aspects of what's happening now. But Carmine, Queer Coalition is commemorating Trans Day of Visibility this year. I mentioned the sachet. Talk about that.
Yeah, so this is actually our fourth annual Trans Day of Visibility sachet. Queer Coalition only dates back to about 2021. At Illinois State University, we used to have Triangle Association, which was our predecessor organization, and then we rebranded with new leadership as the Queer Coalition. And this was, from the very beginning, something that we were very interested in highlighting and a activity that we could come together and show people that we are your colleagues, we are your neighbors, trans people and their supporters are parts of this community. So we wanted to show that in a joyful manner with very bright and colorful clothing, bright and joyful music, and then gather together for some more community building. There's been snacks in previous years, and listen to some remarks from members of our community and from the university community. And we've seen that grow from a few dozen people to as many as 50 people. I'm really interested to see what the turnout is going to be this year. We've really gone all out in advertising it in local media and around the university. And this is open to anyone in the Bloomington Normal community or beyond who would like to participate. This is not merely a Illinois State University endeavor. And so we really want to come together and show our pride.
Aiden, you're in the Champaign-Urbana area. What else are you seeing in Central Illinois this year?
Yeah, definitely seeing a lot of protests that are going on that are being organized by local community members. I would say that's the main thing. And then here at Uniting Pride, we're trying to do lots of events as well. We had an event with Planned Parenthood this past weekend, which was like a Trans Day of Visibility storytelling event, which was really cool. So we're trying to definitely just lean into the community and hear what they have to say.
All right, Christina, I want to ask, how have you seen recognition of the trans community among the broader public evolve over time, especially in these last few years?
Well, it's taken a lot to put get people to come out and like show their transition to people because of what's been going on. But I do see since we are going through what we are right now in the government, we have some people that are really coming out and showing themselves and saying, "Hey, I'm here," being proud of their transition. But I've also seen a lot of people go back in. And what we are working on in Southern Illinois is really pulling people out to say, "Hey, you have support. You are here. We have done a lot of protests. We are having a few events this week, one of them being a bar takeover, a trans bar takeover, where we're just going and all the trans people are being welcomed to this bar and letting them know that they have a safe zone. We have been building a lot more safe zones with our community, but it's just getting people to realize going back in the closet and hiding with their transition is more dangerous than actually standing out and saying, "Here we are," because the more of us, the more visible we are, the better it's going to be. So that's what we're working really hard with, is trying to let people know, come out, say who you are, be proud of who you are. I know it's scary, but you know, we have support and we got to keep building that support and staying visible.
You know, on that point, Carmine, there have been a lot of polls taken over time about recognition of the trans community. And, you know, the numbers vary, but at the very least, more than half of Americans say they don't personally know someone who is trans, or at least they don't think they know someone who is trans. I wonder how that affects perception of trans people.
Yeah, I would like to gently push back on that statistic because, as you kind of alluded to, very many trans people, and as Christine said, very many trans people aren't out in all aspects of their life. So it's much more likely that you know a trans person and just they haven't felt comfortable telling you that. So I would urge people to become the kind of person that trans people feel comfortable telling. And I think that obviously there are more visible trans people now than there have been in previous decades. That doesn't necessarily mean that there are more trans people now, period. It just means that people are more aware of the options when it comes to expressing their gender identity and no longer feel like this is something that will destroy their lives. It's something that can be joyful and can be transformative, and it is something that people see a future in. So I think that more trans people are coming out, definitely. Although, you know, we have serious dangers and fears that we need to consider during that process. If people don't know a trans person, I definitely would recommend, you know, maybe joining a book club at your local library where you can read more about trans stories or get more involved in your queer community in a volunteer capacity. There's many ways that allies can interact in a positive manner with this community. And we really urge people to be assertive in showing to other people that they are allies. And so that the trans community really is able to navigate this difficult time with a support network.
Let's talk about that idea of community, because it is so important. Aiden, in Champaign County, how have trans people found community there?
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of like support groups in our area. Uniting Pride has a specific transgender support group that we host. So that's one way people can find community. But also, like Carmine said, just being in things like book clubs, other community organizations that are welcoming. I think Champaign-Urbana is a pretty liberal community, thankfully. So I think people can find a lot of support. And then in Bloomington Normal, they also have an event at their bar, The Bistro, which is like a gender euphoria type event where the trans community can gather. So I think those events are really important to just continue to have spaces for us to be.
Christina, what about in Carbondale? That's, Carbondale is, kind of a blue city, but it's in a pretty red part of the state. What's it like down there in terms of community?
We are working a lot better at growing our community. We actually have a few bars that are known normally as straight bars that have been opening up to the trans community as well as the drag community, have allowed shows at those bars. We have drag shows at actually one of our biker bars in Carbondale now that, 5, 10 years ago, people wouldn't even have thought about a drag show there. I have every 3 months a drag brunch there, and it brings people in. All the community feels safe. We have allies as well as trans people and the gay community all build up there. I have made sure, besides myself, other trans people being involved in those shows so that people see that it's a safe zone. We also have a small bar that has opened in Heron, Illinois, which is about 15 minutes from Carbondale, that is an all-inclusive bar where everybody's welcome. It is actually owned by a really sweet lesbian couple that has let everybody know that everyone's welcome there. They also have drag shows. They have local community people come in. We have had readings there. A lot of our trans people there have gone there and done poetry readings and different things. The college has a great group that helps out the community, as well as we have a newer group, which is Downstate Illinois Trans Organization, which is called DIDO, that has started recently that has meetings every 2 weeks to just let people know that they're safe. So we are building it up more, and people are really realizing that we're there more and making it more visible. Plus, we've had quite a few different marches and stuff throughout the new organization of political stuff, to put it nicely. But we are letting people know that they have a safe zone there. And even being so close to, two states that are not accepting the community very well right now, we are showing them that they have somewhere to go. So we are keeping that growing every day.
Yeah, and I want to come back to that idea of migration relating to these issues. But let me say, we need to take a break in a few minutes. But Carmine, let's set the stage for the next part of our conversation, because we've talked multiple times on the program in the past few years about the rise in anti-trans legislation across the country. The Trump administration has really nationalized and accelerated that program. So from your perspective, how is the rhetoric and the actual changes in policy affected the trans community, especially in Bloomington Normal on the ISU campus?
On ISU's campus, we have noticed more microaggressions or just aggressions against our community, which is really unfortunate. And students, faculty, and staff have noticed that. I'm hearing from faculty that classroom conversations are becoming more combative. I'm definitely fielding a lot of anxieties from members of Queer Coalition and other groups, fears about attracting attention, fears about living authentically, and what happens when somebody says something awful to you online or in person, or leaves a note on your dormitory door room door, it's a pretty scary time.
And Christina, what are you seeing, especially among trans youth? Just about a minute until we need to take a break.
I see a lot of trans youth that are scared right now, but we're trying to make them aware that we're here for them. Pride in Action Southern Illinois keeps a lot of pamphlets and different things going around, letting people know what policies and things coming from Washington are affecting us. So we need to make sure everyone's aware of that. So if they are voting age or even have parents that are voting, that we know what we need to be going against if we have the ability to vote against those and fight those, especially in our local communities. So we're fighting to keep people informed. And I mean, we've had a lot of young people that were kind of scared to even go to facilities. So we're trying to make new areas for them to go. And we're making sure there's people there to protect them when they're there. So our biggest thing is always making sure that our children, especially our youth, are protected, and everyone in our community. So we do security for most of the issue or things we have, and make sure that we're surrounding them with people that are in the positives. But it has been really rough. A lot of our kids are afraid to even tell people that they're transitioning. Or like I said, I've got a lot of people that have came to me because they've thought about reverting back to not transitioning and stopping their meds and stuff. So we've got to send to counselors and stuff to try to help them out to make sure they know that there's still options there. You know, Illinois right now is still a safe zone, and as long as we properly, we can keep it that way.
All right, we're going to have to take a break. We will continue in just a moment. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking for the first part of our program about the Transgender Day of Visibility. Since 2009, it's been celebrated around the world on this day, March 31st. This year, it's happening as the Trump administration and Republicans have increasingly restricted the rights of trans people from proper identification to access to gender-affirming health care. We're talking about the day and the current environment for trans people with Christina Garnete. She is in Carbondale, board member for Pride in Action Southern Illinois. Aiden Novinska, he's with Uniting Pride of Champaign County. And Carmine Beecroft, they are with the Queer Coalition at Illinois State University in Bloomington Normal. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Aiden, Illinois has a reputation as a state that's protective of gender-affirming care. How much do you think that's holding up as President Trump has signed executive orders aiming to end this care for minors? And I should say, executive orders are not law. There are a lot of legal questions about what authority the president is claiming to wield here. But there are indications that Republicans in Congress would like to further restrict that access to care. So I guess the question to you again, how do you think Illinois' reputation as being a haven for this is holding up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay. I think we have seen some care providers who are definitely complying with Trump's executive orders. Like you said, even though it's not officially a law yet, who are already pushing back on not providing gender-affirming care to minors, which is disappointing to see. But we also are seeing a lot of people, for our organization especially, people reaching out from places like Florida, Texas, who want to move here because it is a safer place compared to where they are. So I think we're still doing okay. Again, it's not the greatest, but not the worst either. So I'm hoping that people will continue to provide care because it is life-saving, and Illinoisans and people across the country need it.
You know, Aiden, how do you help people navigate all the changes that are happening, right? Whether it's documents or getting health care, it can be hard to keep up with, I imagine.
Yeah, it definitely is. We try and do our part where we can. Me being transgender, I've gone through the process myself. So I'm happy to always help people navigate name change and hormones and stuff like that. So it definitely is a difficult thing to navigate sometimes, but we're here and we do the best that we can.
I want to read a statement Governor J.B. Pritzker put out this morning, or at least part of it. He said, "As governor, it's been my mission to ensure that every Illinoisan lives without the fear of violence, prejudice, or discrimination. If you're looking for a place to be authentically yourself, come to Illinois, a state where, regardless of who you are, we celebrate all Illinoisans, recognize their accomplishments, and fight to protect rights to live with dignity and respect. And this was on the occasion, I should say, since it didn't get mentioned in that particular quote, that this was about Trans Day of Visibility. You know, Christina, it's not exactly a new trend for people who are trans, LGBTQ people as well, just more broadly, to move to states where they feel they'll have more support. Claire Kilman, who's a city council member in Carbondale, the first out trans person to serve in that role in Illinois, moved here from Missouri. Have you seen more people coming here or trying to move here since the election in particular?
Oh, most definitely. And we have tried to make sure there's information available for them, especially here on, like I said, we're right close to the borders. And so therefore, we have made sure we can give them as much information as possible, whether it be, again, pamphlets of different locations that are affirming. One of our medical groups down here is very affirming for the gay community and trans community, as well as the RVA hospital has still been like supporting as well as they can, you know, with the VA situation. And we have a hospital in Marion, Illinois, which is not far from us, that has actually put out pamphlets stating how they can help the trans community as well as the gay community, and that they are still standing strong as of right now. As you mentioned, Claire has made, I know her personally, have known her for a long time since she came to Illinois. She makes sure that she always shows people the support and tells them as much as she can, and is always a strong voice in our community. So therefore, that helps a lot. But we have had a lot of people move to Southern Illinois. Kids that originally weren't coming to Southern Illinois for college have changed over to Carbondale because of the fact of us having such available assistance for them. We have two centers in our area that not only help women's groups, but also help the trans community to make sure they're getting their meds right in Carbondale. So we are definitely seeing a big group of new people coming into our area, and especially the trans community. So again, we are building more and more community groups for them and trying to make sure they have a safe zone to come to.
I kind of want to ask all three of you this question, and maybe, Carmen, I'll start with you. So I guess, bottom line, do you feel safe, or at least safer, in Illinois?
Yeah, I feel physically safe, especially in my community. And I've lived here for about 5 years. I came here from Athens, Ohio, and I, like a lot of other people, I mean, this was pre this Trump administration, but I came to Illinois because of more queer affirming state laws. You know, it's a very uncertain time ahead, and I honestly don't know how safe I'm going to feel in 6 months. Definitely starting to feel the weight of this kind of hate at the federal level, and from people that I never would have expected to show this nasty side of themselves.
Like people in your everyday life, you mean?
No. Yeah, family.
Oh, wow.
Like extended family.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so I feel physically safe at the moment in my community. You know, we just got to keep on keeping on.
Yeah. Yeah. Aiden, how are you thinking about that question?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived in Illinois, central Illinois, my entire life. I'm originally from Bloomington Normal and moved to the Champaign-Urbana area a few years ago. And I do feel safe, thankfully. I know that I'm in a much better position than many of my trans siblings are across the country. But as Carmine said, definitely I'm starting to feel the weight of just how people are navigating situations in our everyday life. Our organization definitely sees the hatred online from different people in this community and beyond. So that's hard to see, but I'm thankful that I do feel safe, and I hope that other Illinoisans feel safe as well, and that trend continues.
Christina, what about you? Do you feel safe or safer?
I personally feel safe, but that's got a lot to do with my age and everything. I have went through, you know, I'm in my 50s, so, and being an older trans woman and transitioning later in life, I have went through things that a lot of people that are younger, never seen before, this Trump situation. I feel that as long as we keep building our community and supporting our community and stay visible, that we can be safe, and safety in numbers is what we need to keep going for. I come from a family that does not accept me, and that's okay because I've built a family that accepts me. And that's the whole thing. We need to make sure we're keeping close to people and showing other people that safety in numbers is going to be our thing. So the community we've built here right now, I feel very safe. Again, we don't know what's going to happen next. But as long as we stay in the numbers we are and stay visible and let people know we're not giving in, I feel we can have the safety we need.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show. Today is Trans Day of Visibility, which has been celebrated since 2009. Obviously, though, this year it comes as the Trump administrations and Republicans in the Congress and in many states, though they're not in the majority in Illinois, have increasingly sought to restrict the rights of transgender people from getting access to identification to health care. If you want to join us today, the number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. We're talking with Carmine Beecroft of Queer Coalition at Illinois State University, Aiden Novinska with Uniting Pride of Champaign County, and Christina Garnete of Pride in Action Southern Illinois. Christina, I'm going to stick with you. We're almost 5 months removed from the 2024 elections. And in the sort of political conversation, Democrats are still trying to figure out why the party suffered such a defeat last year. One of the arguments you hear is that the party was, maybe too vocal about supporting trans rights, or I guess a different framing would be that it didn't have a good enough response to that Trump campaign "She's for They Them" ad about Kamala Harris, which had hundreds of millions of dollars behind it last year. How are you thinking about that question? How does it feel as you hear this debate playing out?
Well, my biggest thing is I guess money buys everything. It's my biggest thing, and Trump had the money to back it, and Kamala only had her heart to put into it, and I just feel she needed to fight a little harder, but she was still a young Republican. I mean, a young, or my brain went, a young politician is the word I'm trying to say. She was young. She's, was trying to jump in there and take over things and learn things fast. But she didn't, she just wasn't strong enough, I feel, is the thing right now. And it could have affected the fact that she was backing a community that Trump has really had a big issue with from day one. And unfortunately, we live in a red country. You know that the biggest part is red, and people unfortunately supported Trump so much. I just don't think we had a chance this time, and that's sad, But I don't honestly know how else to answer it. Yes, I feel that she probably was knocked down a little bit because she supported our community. And that has been Trump's biggest thing, and he has a lot of hateful people behind him, and that gave him the advantage, unfortunately.
Aiden, I wonder what you think about this as you hear Democrats debating, I guess, should they do things differently in this regard, which I guess means not supporting trans rights as much. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Yeah, it's difficult. Like Christine said, Trump has a lot of hateful people supporting him and a lot of money. And that goes a long way. Unfortunately, I think we're still seeing the residuals of his first term and all the hateful rhetoric that he stirred up. And I think that's just kind of continued to carry over into this presidency as well, unfortunately. And we're just seeing it becoming more commonplace to be openly prejudiced and hateful against LGBTQ people, trans people, especially right now, as well as other minorities. So I don't think Democrats necessarily did anything wrong, obviously, by supporting trans people and other minorities. It's just they didn't have the money or the resources to really back it up in the way that Trump did.
Carmine, the trans community is relatively small in the United States. I think the biggest estimate has it at 1.5% of adults. Why should people care about what's happening and what might happen to transgender people in the months and years ahead?
Well, I think that the slippery slope argument is one that's been made a lot, that if you allow this small minority to be vilified in this manner, in a way that is truly dehumanizing, and is intended to remove them from public life and strip them from fundamental human rights, what's to stop them from doing that to, another small group or another small group, and eventually, you see your own rights being removed. But fundamental humanity and decency, I think, is a better argument, that you don't. It's the difference between the golden rule and the platinum rule. Like, you don't necessarily need to see yourself in somebody else's shoes in order to recognize that their way of living is the best for them, and support them in finding the best way for them to be happy. So, why should people care? I guess just because people should care. And I think that is a way that we as humans can be together in community and create cultures that are sustainable and actually see to the well-being of our members.
I like that. People should care because they should care. And if that doesn't work, you can look up Martin Niemöller's First They Came poem, right? First They Came for the people who are trans, and I did not speak out because I was not trans, to modify that slightly
Yeah, and
for
I
present
recently
times.
found out that he was himself a Nazi, and very anti-Semitic, and it literally took them coming for him to realize that the people that he'd been vilifying were also people. So, hopefully, a lot of people have moved past that framework, perhaps. And I hope that we can continue in our moral journey together.
Yeah. We're coming to the end of our time together. And I guess, Aidan, I'll just ask you, what do you hope people take away from this particular Trans Day of Visibility?
Yeah, I hope people take away that trans people are people, obviously, first and foremost. We're just like you. We have families, friends, jobs, hopes and dreams, and our transness is just one part of who we are. It's not the whole part of who we are. And again, we just want to be treated equally and fairly like everyone else does. We're not asking for more, than that. So I hope people take away that, as Carmine said, we're just people too, and just want to be treated fairly and equally. And we hope people continue to stand up for us.
I want to thank you all so much for being here, especially at this perilous time. Aidan, Carmine, and Christina, thank you for sharing your perspectives with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Aidan Novinska is Operations Coordinator with Uniting Pride of Champaign County. Carmine Beecroft is Co-President of Queer Coalition at Illinois State University. And Christina Garnett is Board Member of Pride in Action Southern Illinois. We are going to continue the 21st show in just a moment. We're going to be turning to the Mahomet Aquifer, an essential source of drinking water for thousands of people across central Illinois. There's a new push to keep that drinking water safe from pollutants by banning carbon sequestration in the area. If you want to join our conversation on that, it's going to move quickly. We'll be on it for about 15 minutes. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. More to come on the Mahomet Aquifer after a short break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.